Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear in Jesus' name. I have a question for you guys. Why? Why are we here? Not here on earth, but here, like here in this building, in this room. What are we here for? What's the purpose? Why even waste our Sunday morning? We could be sleeping. Why come to hear some guy talk? Why are we here? I'd like to consider this. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 15. I was listening recently to a message by Pastor Stevens, and it gave me the following thought. And the thought actually just came as I was remembering the message. What is the greatest trap? What is the greatest bondage, servitude of the negative sort? Who is the cruelest slave master? Who is the cruelest slave master? I tell you who it is. Whoever it is, like to me, who is my cruelest slave master? I am. I am my cruelest slave master, and you are your cruelest slave master. You don't realize that you get into bondage to that slave master, because that slave master is very subtle. But who is the cruelest slave master to me? I am. Because my slave master tells me what I must do, but never rewards me to the point of satisfaction. How am I in bondage to myself? I'm in bondage to myself usually through my emotions. There's going to be one of two things that rule you. It will either be the Word of God that governs your heart, or it will be your emotions as they respond to either your flesh, that is to say your old sin nature, to the world system, or to the devil. This is why I am my cruelest slave master. Because the flesh has been crucified, so I am responding to that which brings death. The world is cruel. It hates God. And it hates me. So I am responding potentially to that which hates me. And if Satan is God's enemy and he is my enemy, I am potentially responding to my enemy. However, we as believers, until we reach spiritual maturity, are very frequently in bondage to our emotions. They govern us. They become our cause. My thoughts through the day, the thing I want to do or don't want to do, is very much centered on how I feel, if I feel like it, don't feel like it, if I like the thing, don't like the thing, if it's fun or not fun. Don't you know that none of those thoughts are established in reality? They are established in cruelty. Because they are established apart from the love of God. The flesh, the emotions responding to the flesh, to the world, to Satan, are a very cruel slave master. Because they will drive me but never fulfill me. They will dictate to me but they will not satisfy me. They will tell me pursue but always leave me wanting. And when they tell me pursue, they invariably tell me to pursue the wrong thing that will ultimately bring death to my experience. Maybe not to my physical being, albeit those kind of people do usually die decades earlier than they have to, very frequently. I wonder sometimes, when Noah lived over 900 years, something like that, when Adam lived over 900 years, where people lived 800-900 years normally, and as recent as Abraham, which was only a few thousand years ago, Abraham lived almost 200 years. I wonder, how is it that we do not live as long as Abraham lived? Abraham and the people in Abraham's time, archaeologists tell us, were not much different than we are. Their bone structure was the same. Apparently, from what we can tell in archaeology, their habitat was not that different. They lived in communities. They ate similar types of... they didn't eat potato chips, but they ate a cattle or sheep or a goat. Their water was not as healthy as ours. The soil was better than ours. They didn't have medical treatment like we have. But yet they lived much, much longer than we do on average. Why is that? I wonder if it is because in those days, men were not occupied with their emotions, they were occupied with the thoughts of God. I was not designed to be occupied with my emotions. I was designed to respond to God. I was designed to hear His Word, this is why the voice of God was in the garden, calling to them. The voice of God comes and it calls to us. And it speaks to our hearts in things like a message, or sometimes in our private prayer and meditation. The voice of God comes and He wants to commune with us. But if I am oriented toward my emotions, I will not hear the voice of God. If I am oriented to my emotions, if I do hear the voice of God, I will quickly turn from it. Because the voice of God will always take me beyond what I am able, to where Christ has to be my sufficiency and my ability. The voice of God always takes me to the point where I have to trust Him and not sight. The voice of God will challenge me to get out of myself. It'll challenge me to live right with my Savior. It'll challenge me to draw near to Him so that He can draw near to me. The voice of God will also bring in a peace that passes understanding, a joy that is unspeakable and unsearchable. It's the voice of God that I need to hear. It's not the voice of my emotions. My emotions are a very cruel dictator. They will never leave me pleased or satisfied. They will always leave me wanting. And so I pursue the things of my emotions, and it doesn't necessarily even have to be an outward pursuit. Many people are outwardly conformed properly to Christ because they do understand the principles of God and that will govern their behaviors outwardly. For example, many people, if they are planning to be married, they'll practice things like no-touch love. Or if they are not engaged, they won't date until God brings them the right person. Or many people will not drink alcohol or hang out with the wrong crowd if they are young, or for that matter, if they are older. They won't do things that are wrong, immoral. But in their own hearts, there is turmoil and discontent. You know what brings discontent frequently? We talked about this a little bit on Friday. A spirit of adventure. A spirit of adventure comes from boredom, saying, I am bored here, I will be happy there. I've got news for you. If you are bored here, you will be bored there also. Why? Because you're just bored. Why are you bored? Is it the place? No. Because you are bored with the plan of God. The person who is bored is not bored with a place or a person or a thing. The person who is bored with the plan of God because they've received a lie from Satan in their life. Saying the plan of God has nothing for you. The plan of God has no place to take you. The plan of God will not fulfill you. Well, you know what? That's a lie from the pit of hell trying to get you out of the plan of God, which is the only place where you can find your satisfaction. And Satan lies to you to get you to be bored. And then when you are bored, you are open to a number of things, one of which is a spirit of adventure, no matter where it happens to come from. If it's a religious spirit of adventure, or if it's a secular spirit of adventure, it's still a spirit of adventure. You got one side of the tree or the other, it's still the same tree. God will give you all the adventures that you could possibly dream of when your life is laid down. When He is the one ordering your steps. I think it's very interesting. Before I was saved, I always wanted to travel. After I was saved, I actually did. I never managed it before I was saved. Farthest I got was the ocean. I never managed it before I was saved. And Chicago by accident. But after I got saved, God started taking me places. I had a place where I was called, and I called it my home. But He took me places, like on harvest trips, for example, or just to visit. And I suddenly experienced things that I never experienced, that the Bible said we would experience, like standing before kings. By accident. You see, the spirit of adventure, the desire for something that will entertain me, that comes from a heart that doesn't believe God for His promises. But if I simply believe Him and I lay my life down on the basis of that which He has promised, then there is no end to where He will take me. And there is no end to what can happen with my life. Young people in particular, I think, are susceptible to this. And by young, I mean 30 and under. By the way, 20 is not a magic number. It's just a different digit. The spirit of adventure that comes into our lives sometimes is the very thing that will take us out from God's call. And it will crush our capacity because of boredom in the plan of God. Did you ever think about it when people are bored? What that really is? I'm in the kingdom. The kingdom's boring. I got news for you. How rightly related are you to the kingdom if you think the kingdom is boring? Hey, if you think the kingdom is boring, you're thinking wrong. You're mistaken. Let me put it a little more bluntly. You don't know what you're talking about. And you need to learn. There is no other place in the world that is as exciting, as fun, and as satisfying as the kingdom of God in my life. And as the perfect will and the perfect plan of God flowing in my life, taking me to places where I would not even dream of going, like He said to Peter. Giving me things in my life that I would not imagine possible. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God. What I provide for myself is very small, because I have a very small understanding of myself. Here's the problem with me trying to provide for myself. I don't know myself tomorrow. I barely know myself today. But I don't know myself tomorrow. Much less next week, next year, 10, 20, 40 years down the road, I definitely do not know myself. Nor do I know anybody else that way. But God knows the end from the beginning. And God knows exactly who I am, exactly where I'm coming from, exactly where I'm going, and every moment of my life, He knows exactly the essence of me. Because He already sees me there. There is nothing greater, unless, of course, you've accepted a lie. How do I accept lies? Usually I accept lies by walking by sight. But what do we in fact have? We have a richness of hearts and a richness of worship and a richness of the Word. And what appears to be very little is actually very great. How many places out there have a beautiful building and a professional setup for music that really have very little life? And even in their music, they have very little anointing. Yeah, they play the church funeral dirge, but they don't play with life, and they don't have words of life. But if I follow my emotions, this is how I end up, because I can still have a religious conviction to appease my conscience, as my life has taken a direction pursuing self and not God. As a believer, I have to be very careful about that. Young people, listen carefully. Always in your lives, pursue God and only God. Do you understand? Always in your lives, pursue God and only God. Never pursue the things that are apart from God, and never be afraid to trust Him for your lives. Even though sight may suggest otherwise, never be afraid to trust Him in everything, because He will never fail you. He devised a plan for your life before the world was even made. And it's a perfect plan that will bring perfect contentment. And it may bring challenges sometimes, but those are there to make you grow. And those are there so you'll get to know Him better. But it's going to be wonderful with Him if you follow Him first and foremost and exclusively. Do you understand? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. The Word of God says, "The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam made a quickening spirit." The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. There is a difference here. And this is not just talking about history. This is talking about the believer. How do I know this is talking about the believer? Because in John chapter 3 and verse 5, the Word of God says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And in verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And we are born of both. We are born of the flesh and we are born of the Spirit, and we have to be very careful in which one we have our source of life. Because if we have our source of life in the flesh, then we have our source of life under a cruel taskmaster. It's a slave keeper that does not care for the slave. But when we are born of the Spirit, then we are born under somebody who is the love of God. He is the love of God. He is the one that says, "With loving kindness, I have drawn you. He is the one that says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. He says that you are precious in my eyes and I have loved thee. He is the one who says that. The world does not make that offer. The world says, as long as you are just what I want you to be, you're going to be acceptable to me. Young people, guys and girls in the world, or worldly Christians, will say to you exactly what they want you to think so they can lure you, but only so long as you are acceptable to them are they going to have any kind of appreciation, and they cannot have love for you because they don't possess love. They have wanting, perhaps. They have drive. They have lust. But they don't have love. Only what is from God can bring you love. Only what is from God can bring you love. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Living, zoson, possessing life from God, and no, not simply bios life. God's quality of life, not bios life. The first man was born of God, but lost that life. The second man had to come and was made a quickening spirit, zoopoion, to make alive, to vivify. That is the man who became animated with the life of God, residing and dwelling, not ever departing in him. This is how I am as a believer. I can have the life of the Adamic nature, or I can have the life of the Spirit of God. And it is possible for me to experience both. Peter did that. One moment he confessed, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, the Father has revealed this unto you. And the next moment he was talking with his vocal cords being controlled by Satan. By the way, did you know that as a believer your vocal cords can be controlled by Satan? When does that happen? When you give yourself permission to speak apart from the character of God, you give place to the devil with your vocal cords. Many people who are believers will give the atmosphere their vocal cords. And they will repeat what the atmosphere whispers in their ear about another person. Sometimes that happens to all of us. You know what you say when that happens to you? Well, thank you, now I know what the devil thinks of me. Because that's what's being repeated. That's what's being repeated. The last man, Adam, was made alive, and he became a living spirit, and the spirit, pneuma, the vital spirit or life, the principle of life residing in a man, the breath God breathed by God into a man, and again returning to God, the spiritual entity of a man. This is the spiritual man, the spirit man, the inner man. In John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. It's the spirit that is quickened. The flesh does not profit from what? The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life, from the Word of God. Do you know why you need the Word of God? Because they are life to the spirit. They may not be life to your flesh. I will guarantee you it will not be life to your flesh. And the person who tries to receive the Word of God in their flesh is somebody who's going to really have a distaste for what they are receiving. Why? Because the Word brings in a cross. And the cross crucifies my flesh. So the flesh may not respond to it. Sometimes I'll hear preaching and I get stung. Sometimes I preach and I get stung. that, you know what? The spirit in me loves it. The spirit in me is like watering a dry plant. The spirit in me gets life and refreshment and invigoration from the Word of God. You see, there is a problem here. My flesh is going to go into the ground, but my spirit will be alive unto God for eternity. What is it that I'm dwelling in? That which goes into the ground, or that which is alive unto God for eternity? Feed the Spirit of God in the heart of your inner man. Feed from the Spirit of God. How do I feed from the Spirit of God? Through the Word of God. A lot of people who receive the Word of God, they're Sunday morning Christians. They go to church on Sunday morning, but they don't hear the Word of God throughout the week. Or maybe they're three times a week Christians. How well do you think your body would hold up if you ate three times a week? It wouldn't hold up real well. Don't be an anorexic believer. Why? You're not going to hold up really well. And if I'm not getting that rich diet of the Word of God, guess who's on the throne? A very cruel slave master. A very cruel slave master. Because there will be nothing that I'm receiving that will quicken the spirit. The only thing that I will have is the flesh. But there will be nothing that I'm receiving that quickens the spirit unless I'm into the Word of God. How many people, and don't raise your hands, but how many people will download a message or listen to a disc or whatever somehow during the week from your pastor? No, I like to listen from other people. Well, you're certainly welcome to, but I've got news for you. You'll be blown about by every wind of doctrine. You'll be unstable in all your ways. God gave you a pastor for a specific reason. He called you to a specific man. Why? Because that is the portion that you will be receiving from and then answering regarding at the Bema seat. In John chapter 3, the word that I speak is going to be your judge. So these people, God bless them, they listen to everybody and their cousin, but they don't want to listen to their pastor. Why? Old hat, familiarity, that's why. Familiarity. I love the fact that so many of you are taking notes. Not that people must take notes, but I love the fact that you are. Why? Because you are active listeners. And you hear God's Word. And you want to recall the things that speak to your hearts. These are the things that you will be seeing or hearing again at the Bema seat. What is it that I get without the Word? Turn with me, please, to John 7:18. I want you to see this in your Bible. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells nothing that is any good at all. For to will is present with me. In other words, I have the consciousness of the Word of God, and I know that it's better. But how to perform that which is good, I don't know how to do it. I find it not. In other words, I don't have it in me to do the right thing. I don't have it in me to not make mistakes. I don't have it in me to live right before God, to make the right decisions, to have the healthy emotions. No kidding. Because it's not a part of your flesh. But in verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members," in other words, something else that's controlling me in my physical body, warring against the law of my mind, warring against the conscience that I have from the Word of God, because I have received it and it's entered into my conscience, and now there's a war going on. What my flesh, my emotions want, regardless what God wants for me. And I've got this humongous battle. But I see another law warring in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Did you know there is deliverance from that body of death? There is deliverance from that body of death. How do I get out of that? In Job 33:4, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life." What is the breath of the Almighty? In 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." That's theopneustos, and that means all Scripture is God-breathed. That's the breath of the Almighty. God spoke the Word and creation came into being. That's the breath of the Almighty. God speaks the Word and my spirit becomes alive. That's the breath of the Almighty. And this is how I become alive. This is how I have the life of Christ, the resurrection life, the life that passes all knowledge and satisfaction that people simply cannot comprehend, and peace that passes understanding, and joy that is unsearchable. Why? Because I have the life of God in me. That's why. This is why I need God's Word. It's the life of God in me. It's the thing that makes me alive. It's the thing that puts me on the throne in my experience, seated above in heavenly places, in Christ, in my experience. The thing that does it is the Word of God. So I get the Word of God every day because I need that to stay alive. Don't breathe if you're not going to get the Word. Because spiritually speaking, you're not breathing. Spiritually speaking, you're a resurrectable corpse. If you're not getting the Word of God every day, you wonder why you're not feeling so good in your emotions if you're not getting the Word of God every day? Because you're a corpse. And there's a part of you that's alive and a part of you that's utterly dead. And it doesn't feel real good. Whosoever, in Luke 17:33, will try to save his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life will preserve it. I get away from the Word of God. Why? Because I'm trying to preserve my life. That's why. But that's the life that I lose. But then I get into the Word of God, and a cross is worked into my life, and guess what I find? God's life is there. God's fulfillment is there. God's joy is there. God, at God's right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That comes through the Word of God. Comes through. How do you resist temptation? Through the Word of God being alive in you. Because otherwise, the best you can do is resist temptation in your natural effort. But your emotions will be screaming at you. And eventually you will not have the ability to withstand and to overcome. Hey, you know what happens? A believer sometimes gets right with God. Let's say they're in an area of their life where they're not. It doesn't have to be a major area. there's an area of their life that's not really right with God. For young people, that's frequently to do with relationships or moods or maybe a rebellious attitude. Not always, but sometimes. That's very common. With older people, that can be things like anger. And also another type of an emotionalism. Frustration. Anxiety. Let's say there's an area of my life where I'm not really right with God. But I get right with God. But I don't pursue getting filled with the Word of God every single day. You know what's going to happen? As I no longer have the ability to sustain being right with Him, it'll become 7 times worse. Because the demonic attack that brought the temptation to begin with, when the house is cleaned up, but if I'm not vigilant, 7 more powerful ones come and say, hey, look at this, a clean house. And it becomes 7 times worse. I need the Word of God. It's not just a casual thing, and it's not a theology. It's the practical reality of my life. How in the world can the just live by faith if they don't take anything to produce that faith in them? Do you think your flesh, your old sin nature, is going to produce faith? No, your old sin nature is going to take you as far from faith as it possibly can, because it can only respond to sight. This is why so many believers have trouble trusting God in the face of no sight, because they're trying to trust Him in some element of the soul as it's responding to the old sin nature, rather than having the Word of God produce the sustaining faith in them. It's important for me to realize this. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's not a threat. That's the Word. Without faith, guys, listen to this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can stand on your head and call it for the glory of God if you like. But without faith, it's not in any way possible to please Him. If I'm walking by sight, I'm doing exactly the opposite of what God says I need. When He says the just live by faith. The only way I'm going to be able to do that is with a rich diet of the Word of God. Hey, don't raise your hands, but how many of you guys have had issues with simply trusting God in your life, especially if something looked impossible or difficult or overwhelming or whatever it may happen to be? If you're having trouble with that, you need to do something with your diet. Because you can't please Him. Not that way. You need to do something with your diet. You need to receive the Word of God. And you need to receive it every single day. And yesterday's Word will not carry you through today. You need to receive it every single day. Why do you think God gave you a pastor? Well, I'd rather go after another pastor. You're a fool. Another pastor is not there to look out for your soul. And another pastor is not the architect that builds your life, like Paul said. It's like knowing that I belong in this house, but wanting to stay at that one. Well, your provisions are all here, not there. The things that you need to receive for your life are here, not there. If you are called here. If you're called somewhere else, then what are you doing here? But if you're called here, you need to start receiving from your pastor. That simple. It's the Word of God, folks. I mean, I don't think anybody here, people here are very good this way. But frequently Christians react at stuff like that. But they're really, you know, they'll blame the pastor. But it's really the Bible they have an issue with. And the bottom line is a lack of humility. It's a lack of humility. And finally, verily, verily, I say unto you in John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Do you think that means after you're dead? Hey, if you don't have everlasting life now, you're not going to have it then either. And it's not just your salvation. It's the experience of life, of God's life in you. It's the experience of God's life in you. Hey, when you get to heaven, there are certain things that will be absolutely magnificent and I think will awe us. But there are certain things that will absolutely shock us. I think one of the things that a lot of people will be shocked by is that heaven doesn't have something they expected. You know what it doesn't have? Pixie dust. There is no little magic spiritual wand in heaven. There is no pixie dust. You won't have a flesh and you'll be in the presence of God. And by flesh I mean old sin nature, not just your physical form. But you're not going to have more of the Word stored up in your heart than you've stored up here. It's not going to suddenly magically appear when it hasn't been put in to your eternal soul here. There's no pixie dust. So that which you get here is that which you will stand with at the Bema Seat. And that is your portion for eternity. You are here to prepare for eternity. How well are you preparing? By the way, you don't know when eternity is coming. You don't know when it's coming. Wasn't it last week some 15-year-old girl got killed up here? 15 and eternity. 15 and eternity. You think you have till 70, 80, 90, 100? Nobody said that. God pre-planned the number of your days before He created you. And you're not going to get one day more or one day less. It is set in eternity. And some people will live to be 100. But some people will only get 15 years. And some people only get a few days. God is equal opportunity with this. When I worked in the ER, one of the things that really struck me is the low percentage of old people from all the deaths that I saw, how few of them were actually old. Most of them were fairly young. Much younger than you would say ought to be. The youngest was 2 months. Plenty of teenagers. More teenagers, interestingly, than people in their 20s or 30s. Plenty in their 40s, 50s, and on. So how are you preparing for your eternity? Because you might be there tomorrow, God forbid, but you don't know. And if you're not going to be there tomorrow, then you're going to be there soon enough. Amen.